What up, and welcome back to another episode of Bach Fantasy Talk. And today we are talking about the draft. Isn't that exciting? The time I'm recording, it is 4:19 Easter Sunday, March 31st. We are about 25 days out from the draft, and I was kind of thinking of where do I start in this draft. I think the draft is actually really, really exciting this year. It starts at 2, which I think is fun. I mean, we all know Caleb Williams is going to go 1. And speaking of Caleb Williams, we'll start off with him. I mean, I've never seen the media try to affect somebody so bad. I mean, you can make fun of him. I mean, some of the stuff he does, yeah, you can make fun of him. But he's the number one overall pick. There's no doubt about it. Trading Justin Fields was probably the best. It was the right call over Caleb Williams. So in that case, Chicago takes Caleb Williams at 1. I think speaking on Chicago, what they're doing at 9 is really intriguing. I think Chicago could have easily traded back like they did last year and get a haul of picks. I mean, they got a haul from Carolina last year. They're not going to do it this year. I think at 9, you're in a really good spot. You have Keenan Allen and you have DJ Moore. I think this is a really good offensive class. Like, this is probably the best offensive class we have seen in a while, an absolute while. And I think Chicago taking a receiver at 9 kind of makes sense, because you can look at Keenan Allen's contract and it looks like he's only going to be here for one more year. So they basically just traded for a 1-year rental of Keenan Allen. He's 32. He's not going to last. You're not going to franchise tag him. You're not going to extend him to anything past 2 to 3 years after the season. So I think a wide receiver at 9 is definitely the play there for Chicago. At 2, I don't think Jaden Daniels makes sense. I don't think he makes sense. The draft starts at 2. Like I just said, the draft starts at 2. We're 2 minutes in, speaking of 2, but if you have not followed us on Instagram at Bach Fantasy Talk, we have a massive episode coming up in the future that will definitely get us on the charts. Speaking of on the charts, we were on the charts. I think we're off now, but pretty impressive. We got back on the charts about 170 for about 3 days. So, and that was when we released the episode. And actually, if you listen to the free agency episode, thank you. That episode did really well for some reason. So thank you for listening in. And if you're listening, I'm going to probably post this first day of April. And then we have about 24 days until the draft. So we're going to get another draft episode in there. I think Rush Williams and I are going to collab. He's going to do the Knowles Daily account. Like, again, he makes the edits. And then there's going to be an interview somewhere between May and April, which will blow up. So good stuff planned in the future. Interview's not confirmed, but it is a very, very, very excellent chance of happening once again. And at 2, I think Drake May makes sense. I really haven't watched much film, but you kind of look at it like this. Listening to the PFF podcast the other day, it makes sense looking at game speed and arm talent. And, you know, I think Jaden Daniels, everybody kind of looks at the stats. But we got to keep in mind, he's also throwing to Malik Nabers. And I have seen a lot of stuff that Malik Nabers is flying up draft boards. And I'm looking down again, and Brian Thomas Jr. is projected to go to Jacksonville to mock. So is Jaden Daniels really that good, or does he have 2 first-round receivers? Like, we got to ask us that question. Like, I guess what, Josh Allen a couple years ago came out of Wyoming? And I mean, you don't find guys out of Wyoming. You kind of find quarterbacks out of UNC. But I think Drake May is a lot better than Sam Howell was, and I think he's probably a better prospect than Mitchell Trubisky is. So I think Drake May goes at 2. I think that just makes sense for kind of and maybe not Washington's scheme, because I guess it's what Cliff Kingsbury calling plays over there. He picked Kyler Murray. So I guess you might see Jaden Daniels just because he's what Cliff Kingsbury wanted a couple years ago in Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray did end up panning out pretty well, but that's something to talk about 4. But I think the Patriots trade back from 3. A quarterback is fun and exciting in New England, but it's not going to immediately change this roster. Immediately. I mean, New England, out of all these teams, I think, honestly, in the NFL, I think besides maybe the Giants, they have the worst roster in football. I mean, and you say, like, I'll say for Chicago, like, Chicago's not going to be back up at 1-9 next year. Chicago might be in the 10s. They could be 6, but they're not going to be in the top 5 next year. They're not going to be in the top 5. Washington has to take a quarterback because their roster's like that. And the Patriots are going to be rebuilding for the next 2 to 3 years. I don't think taking a quarterback right now makes sense. I think tanking and Wayne for next year. I don't really know who's in the draft next year. I don't think there's any reason to look. But there really isn't a guy that New England can go in on next year quarterback-wise. And it might not be a good quarterback class next year. But I think New England's best situation here in this draft is trading back and building capital. Because the best player, I believe, on the New England roster is Matthew Judon. Looking at kind of also their cap space numbers, they don't have a top executive in this lineup. Or not lineup. Yeah, well, this lineup, or roster, excuse me. Roster is terrible. It is terrible. They barely hit on first-round picks. This is a terrible, absolutely terrible roster. Terrible. Terrible. The best thing to do is to trade back and build capital and get as many fifth-year options as possible. I think New England will trade out of three because you can't really protect Drake May if he comes in. Who's he going to throw the ball to? I think trading back, honestly, the best option to trade back is, I mean, 11 through 13. You got Minnesota, Denver, and Vegas. I think the best option for the Patriots is to trade back. But speaking of players, I think Drake May is better than Jaden Daniels. Watching a little bit of film and kind of listening to what people say, just because Jaden Daniels has the stats, he also has two tier one receivers. Drake May doesn't have much. And, you know, you can push that narrative of North Carolina quarterbacks not panning out. That narrative's kind of stupid. I mean, you can change that narrative pretty easily nowadays. So I would not take Jaden Daniels over Drake May, but hey, who knows? Moving on to four, I think the Cardinals' best situation is to pick Marvin Harrison. I think the Cardinals are going to end up with a receiver no matter where they are in this draft. Their roster isn't great either. I forget they should have two first-round picks. Yeah, they do. They have 27, and then they have four. You're not really going to hit on somebody at 27. It's not really likely at all. So I think the best situation for the Cardinals is there's really not anybody they can bring in free agency. I think the fact Buda Baker there is still good. I actually think they're doing a pretty solid job. I think the best case for the Cardinals is either trade back or take Marvin Harrison Jr. I think, honestly, they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. because that will definitely put you over the edge. But you're still going to need a lot more picks. I think trading back from 27 is definitely a great move they can make because they got to build some capital there in that aspect. I think moving on to five, I think the best situation for the Los Angeles Chargers is to take Joe Alt. And what people don't realize is Joe Alt's not the fun pick, but this guy just sounds like a Hall of Famer, and he is graded very, very, very high. So I think taking Joe Alt for the Chargers totally makes sense. They can definitely take a receiver, but I don't think the roster is that poor to where you need to take a receiver. I think Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer are solid, but I think you can honestly take a receiver in the second round too. I think this is a very deep receiver class. And excuse me, I think Jim Harbaugh knows he has to take something of value to help build the offense because they completely cleaned house there. The defense is really good. I don't see the Chargers going defense, but they kind of got themselves out of cap hell a little bit. It's a lot of dead money, which I hate. They missed on the J.C. Jackson contract. So there's a ton of void years pushed back for next year. Next year is going to be a problem, and there's barely anybody assigned on the roster next year. So I don't think the Chargers trade back just because they'll be in such a good position to draft somebody. They got salary cap next year, but it's going to take a couple of years for them to get back on track. But I think the best thing to getting on track is protecting your quarterback and taking Joe Alt. Even though if they took a receiver, I wouldn't be surprised because teams tend to take receivers because receivers are very highly valuable nowadays. At six, I think the six is the weirdest part of the draft. What do the Giants do? Actually, it's not weird. They should take a receiver. I think you got what? Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze are kind of the tier one guys. Obviously, Harrison is a blue chip. If you don't know what a blue chip is, I'm going to be saying that a lot. Blue chip is the best player at that position and kind of a generational talent in that aspect. So, like Caleb Williams will be the blue chip this year. Marvin Harrison will be a blue chip. Joe Alt will be a blue chip. And Brock Bowers will be a blue chip. I think that's kind of it. Yeah, that's kind of it for blue chips. Like really good players who should go high. I don't think Dallas Turner's a blue chip. We'll get to him in a little bit. But I think the best situation for the Giants is six is you cannot get rid of Daniel Jones until after this year. That's how the contract kind of was built. In a sense, they're going to have to eat some dead money next year against the cap, but it is what it is. But going on that Daniel Jones thing, I don't think picking J.J. McCarthy is going to fix any problems. It really won't. You can't throw the ball. Like people got to realize is when you bring a quarterback in, you have to have weapons. And that's why they got rid of Desmond Ridder so quickly because he had the weapons. He couldn't succeed. Sam Howell really, I guess, almost didn't have the weapons either. But you can tell by these quarterbacks if they have weapons or not, how they're going to succeed. I think another, I guess you could say Justin Fields, but I don't think Justin Fields is good. I really don't think he's good. But you have to have weapons to see if these guys are legit. What's another example? I think Tua Tagovailoa is a great example of giving a guy weapons and him succeeding. I think Josh Allen's a perfect example. He didn't really have weapons at the start, right? And they bring in Stephon Diggs, and he takes a leap in year three. You tend to see a leap in year three of NFL quarterbacks. That's why the Bears got rid of Justin Fields. So Daniel Jones kind of took a leap in year four, because they didn't take the fifth-year option. What the Giants did wrong is they should have franchise-tagged Daniel Jones, signed Saquon. They don't. Now, Daniel Jones has no options. Who is Daniel Jones going to throw the ball to? You have to take a receiver here at 6. 7 for the Titans. I think the Titans actually did a wonderful job this offseason kind of with constructing contracts and being in a good position to not make a push but have a competitive roster. Hopkins is good. Ridley is good. I think Will Levis is going to take a step up. The best situation here for the Titans is protecting Will Levis in that offensive line. So if Joe Alt is not there, you're going to take a guy. Who's the Penn State guy? Fashanu. You're going to take the old Penn State tackle or the Oregon State tackle there for Tennessee. I don't see them trading back because it won't make sense. I think you're going to see McCarthy, May, Daniels, and Williams. I don't think they'll be gone by the first four picks, but I think they'll all be gone by the top 10 because somebody will want to trade up. I think a good option here of trading up, and somebody's going to have to fall. Like people don't realize that every single year a guy's going to have to fall. So you're not going to see quarterbacks picked in the first four picks. I think the Patriots are the least likely team to take a quarterback. And I say that because I think the Cardinals trade down 8-8 for the Atlanta Falcons. This is what people care about the most is who the Falcons are going to take. Honestly, because most of my listeners are Falcons listeners, I think we get a couple of other fans. NFL's weird with how people have fan bases. Going to that, I think at 8, the best pick that makes sense for the Falcons is taking the edge. The UCLA edge. I put him in the graphic made by Rush on the Instagram. And listening to the Pro Football Focus podcast, I think Latou is a better player due to production and game speed. And sure, Dallas Turner had a great combine, but here's a great example a couple years ago. Trayvon Walker, an excellent combine. Aiden Hutchinson was kind of the clear guy in that aspect of, I thought Aiden Hutchinson should have been the number one overall pick. I said that a couple years ago. Aiden Hutchinson should have been the number one overall pick. He wasn't. It was Trayvon Walker. People end up missing out on Trayvon Walker. One thing we got to realize is the Falcons, you can never understand what they're going to do into the draft until the last possible moment. I was expecting the Falcons to go receiver this year. I think quarterback was definitely in play. And then Kirk Cousins signs. It's like, okay, quarterback is nowhere even near what this team needs right now. And looking at what this team needs, it needs edge. I think the problem with taking an edge like Latou is you're going to have to put him in the lineup day one, and he's going to have to be playing a ton. Falcons need help off the edge. Interior defensive line is phenomenal. I loved the interior defensive line last year. I think it's time. It makes sense for edge. I think the offense is pretty much complete, and I think it's a Super Bowl offense with the fact the offensive line's tremendous. I mean, the complete offensive line was great. I thought Matthews, McGarry, Bergeron, Dalman, Chris Lindstrom, it's a great offensive line. Top 10, debatable top 5, or definitely top 3 too, you can argue that. But the defense needs some work. The secondary is pretty well. You could also get a cornerback too. I think that hasn't been addressed this offseason. Linebacker core is great. I think the safeties have done a phenomenal job this year. It's that edge. That's that pass rusher we need. And if Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell don't come back, I think it just screams edge 8. I don't think Dallas Turner is the guy. I think it's Latou, the guy from UCLA. I think you could also see Jared Verse, because Jared Verse was potentially the edge rusher one last year if he did enter the NFL draft, and he, for some reason, he decided to go back and do his senior year, which, I mean, is perfectly fine with the NIL deals nowadays. But he had the chance to be one of the first guys taken off the board. He probably would have been behind Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, but he definitely could have been in that top 15 area. Probably would have been 13 to the Packers. So Jared Verse is also a great option. Just a little bit year older, but you're looking at the frame with 2.65, 259. Jared Verse, 6.4, 254. Turner, 6.3, 247. Stats don't lie, Latu. I think taking the guy with stats here makes sense, and the Falcons take the UCLA edge. 9 for the Bears. I think if Odunze is there, I think Brock Bowers doesn't make any sense. I don't think defense makes sense for Chicago, but you could see them going defense. And, you know, this is kind of one of the drafts where you see, I think, a great example is the Browns a couple years ago. They were, 1-4, and they went Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. And people were kind of shocked by the Denzel Ward pick. I think another thing you also saw a couple years ago was, no, might have been last year, when the Seahawks went Devon Witherspoon at 5. And people were kind of like, oh, kind of shocked by it. But it ended up panning out. So you could see Chicago go sneaky defense here. It's not a defensive draft, though. It's an offensive draft this year, which is unfortunate for the Falcons. The Falcons went offense the last 3 years. So they're not going to take an offensive guy, I believe, anymore. So, I mean, you're going to see Atlanta's going to take a defender at 8, and they're going to trade down. Speaking of trading down, a report just came out that the Jets would like to trade down for a quarterback-needy team. I don't really know who a quarterback-needy team is past 10. I mean, you got Minnesota, who's definitely going to take a quarterback, but we'll get to them in a second. Denver and the Raiders. And other than that, once you get – I mean, all these teams are kind of set on quarterback next year, which is – actually probably a good thing for this league, is a lot of teams are set on quarterback after 13. I think Seattle could definitely pick a quarterback, but we'll get to them in a second. The Jets' best situation here is to trade down. I think Brock Bowers would be a great pick, because the Jets got to win now. I don't think trading back for picks makes sense. I think Brock Bowers is an option. Jets are going to be in a really, really, really good team next year. They could definitely win the Super Bowl, because I love Aaron Rodgers. I tried to listen to a podcast with Aaron Rodgers, but I could not. That mofo just starts yapping all the time, kind of what I'm doing right now. But the Jets trading down could definitely make sense here in this one. But I think you don't know what's gonna happen at 10, honestly. But I could see Minnesota, Denver, or Vegas trying to slide up. Minnesota, they traded what? They traded. Let me look at that trade. Vikings Texans trade. Vikings acquire the number 23 overall pick. First and a seventh, Texans get number 42, number 188, and a second round pick in 2025. Okay, so basically what Minnesota is telling the league is they want a quarterback. The thing is, if you don't take a quarterback if you can take a quarterback at 11, you still get the 23rd pick, and you get your first round pick next year. You lose your second. Seconds are really, really valuable, by the way. But I mean, I don't think Minnesota lost this trade. I think it's just kind of like, hey, we made this trade. Now we know we have ammunition, and we can move up, or we can sit here, and if a guy falls, we can wait and see if he falls. I think if I'm Atlanta at 8, and I get a call from Minnesota, and they say, hey, we want to give you 11 and 23 to move up 3 spots, I would take that in a heartbeat, because you can get 2 fifth-year option players. If you don't know what a fifth-year option is, when you draft a guy in the first round, how his contract works is you have to have the – You get a guaranteed four years, fully guaranteed money for 4 years, and that fifth year is a team option. So this is why first round picks are so valuable. I mean, obviously you're picking very high, but this is why they're even more valuable than the second round. That's why Will Levis and Joey Porter aren't as valuable in the second round for a team aspect, because you have to pay him after that fourth year if you want to play him. That might not make sense, but I can explain it in the next draft episode I'm going to do. But Minnesota is going to go take a quarterback, no doubt about it. Denver, I think they're going to be really stupid. And they didn't learn from the last trade. They're going to try to get a quarterback. They're going to rush the quarterback development and system. I don't like what Denver is doing at all. Speaking of don't like what Vegas is doing, I like the coach hire, but I don't like the direction this team is in. Like, what direction is Vegas in? Like, what are they trying to do? Devontae Adams is great. Crosby is great. They got a solid offensive line. It's a good roster. But where are they trying to win? Like, I just don't know. Like, looking at the salary cap, I don't know what this team is trying to do. It just doesn't make sense. They also need a running back. Like, they need a running back. Because if you're going to take a quarterback, you want to take a running back. I don't think a running back gets picked in the first round this year either. But I don't get what direction Vegas is really in. And here's the thing. What I've learned is you also don't want to force a quarterback pick. You do not want to force a quarterback pick. That's what happened. That honestly, it kind of happened with the Falcons. It happened with the Steelers for forcing a quarterback 2 years ago. 2021, it kind of happened with the Bears. And it happened with the 49ers. It's forcing quarterbacks in spots you aren't and risking picks. Picks are so valuable in this league. It's such a business league, which I love about it. But I don't think Denver should take a quarterback. I think they should wait into the second round because I think the second round there's going to be some guys available. Saints, I mean, the Saints are just going to pick somebody boring. And that's not me hating on the Saints. It's just saying Saints are in such a weird spot too. The Saints and Raiders don't have any sense of direction of trying to win a Super Bowl. So they're in a weird spot. The Colts, I mean, they got their quarterback. They're just going to have fun with that pick. Seahawks, I think this is the last team in the first round that would take a quarterback. I don't think Geno Smith's the answer. I think they realized that last year. He kind of took a step down. I think they're going to want to cut Geno Smith. I think the best situation, however, though, for the Seahawks is they're a little bit weird on cap space. But if I were them, I would play it with Geno Smith this year, cut Geno Smith next year, and have a guy come in. You're going to cut Tyler Lockett next year. You might cut DK Metcalf. A lot of weird contract situation for Seattle. I think Seattle has to take a quarterback and develop a guy. I think you'd see Penix getting taken. I think you'd see Bo Nix. I think Penix draft stock might start going up with how his pro day was. I think Seattle's the last team to take a quarterback here. And then you kind of get into 17 and 32. There's nothing I can really comment on past this draft. You don't know what's going to happen. But I can say none of these teams I think are going to take a quarterback besides Minnesota, but I see Minnesota trading up with the 23rd pick and giving it to a team who's I don't think is going to need a quarterback, because if you're trading up, you're not going to need a quarterback. I don't think Miami sneaks a quarterback in. Don't think the Cardinals sneak a quarterback in. So once we hit 17, you're going to kind of see a little bit of fatigue and excitement in the NFL draft this year, just because there isn't any reason to take a quarterback. And you're going to kind of see boring picks, but it's good sense of this is going to be a fun part in the draft, because there is not a lot of quarterback needy teams this year past 15. 2023 draft, there actually nobody was really taking a quarterback. Will Levis kind of fell, so that's kind of what made it exciting. Then you see Tennessee trade up and they get their guy. I think Will Levis is actually gonna be a pretty solid quarterback. It's the second round, which is kind of interesting. And I mean, you can't predict the end of the first round. It's always so weird. But I think it's a good receiver class from what I've seen. I think it's a pretty deep edge class. I think the quarterback class is going to be pretty solid. Not a lot of good tight ends or running backs this year whatsoever. I think Jackson Powers Johnson is going to be picked very early, because I think he's going to be an excellent interior offensive lineman from what I've heard. Other than that, I think the receiver class is deep. I think it's going to be a great tackle class. Keon Coleman is definitely a guy who's going to fall watching him play. But not a lot of running backs. I think there will not be a running back picked in the first round. NFL draft props. Of course it's blocked. I don't think you see a running back in the first round. I barely think you'll see a running back in the second round, but I think you're going to see Vegas and Dallas take a running back. Other than that, it's going to be an exciting draft. It's going to be an exciting draft in effect that a lot of trades are going to happen, and people love watching quarterbacks play. You don't know what's really going to happen. I think the draft kind of gets uninteresting after 13. But I think one thing that's going to be interesting is I think you're going to see a lot of teams try to trade back into the end of the first to take a guy like Michael Penix or Bo Nix Jr. just to get the fifth-year option on that quarterback. Other than that, I'm not going to do a mock draft today. Also, I'm 25 minutes in, and there's not it. But, I mean, big episode coming soon for sure. It's gonna blow up. It's going to be the best episode you've ever seen. But exciting time for NFL. It's been a great month, so it's just getting better. And the sports are picking up. Which is good. Basketball, baseball, NFL draft stuff. So it's going to be an exciting month. We'll have the Final Four next week, and then it's just a exciting shot from here on out. Didn't ask any questions. Might open a poll up for the next draft episode. But the next episode If it's an interview, it's going to be excellent. But thank you so much for listening. Great job, Rush Williams, for the edit. If you made it this far, I appreciate you. It's Easter Sunday, 4:45. Hopefully you had a great Easter. And again, if you made it this far, thank you. Like always, I'm your favorite host, Bach. Got a lot of good episodes coming up for you, and we got some great graphics. Like always, I'm your favorite host. We'll see you next time.